Ich bin so frei. Der Podcast, in dem es um Freiheit, Frauen und ums Anpacken geht. Mit Dr. Zoe von Fink.
Welcome to the podcast, Ich bin so frei. The podcast on freedom, women and how to shape our future. My name is Zoe and I'm based in Berlin, Germany. After talking to a member of the Ukrainian parliament, Halina Yanchenko, some episodes ago, today I have once again an international guest, Celine Handa from MentorMe, who is based in Nairobi. Celine is currently the program lead of MentorMe in Kenya. And with this, I'm following up on an interview from season 1, episode 19 actually, if you want to know more about it, with the entrepreneur Karin Heinze, who is the founder of MentorMe. Company MentorMe believes that we all need mentors to grow and learn. And with this concept, Karin has designed a very interesting business model she has now taken to the next level in Kenya. And here is where Celine comes in. Together, we talk about MentorMe in Kenya and what Europeans can learn from Kenyans, business opportunities in Kenya, and also who she is and what motivates her every day. You can find more information on the organization and how to become a mentor or a mentee or how to get involved in the show notes. So if you're interested in a new perspective on development and growth in Africa, you're going to enjoy this. If you like the podcast, please tell others about it, and 5-star ratings are always welcome. Enjoy! Good morning, Celine. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Zoe. It's a great pleasure to be here and to be able to speak with you this morning.
So who are you?
So Zoe, my name is Celine Handa. I'm a Kenyan woman, middle-aged woman. I'm married with 3 children, 1 adult, 1 teenager, and a 2-year-old toddler currently. By profession, I'm a researcher. You know, I have a lot of experience in market and social research, monitoring and evaluation, documentation, project management. That's my space. That's my area of work. I'm a practicing Christian and a social entrepreneur as well. I'm born and schooled in Kenya, but my work experience are Pan-Africa and part of Southeast Asia. So this is who I am, a proud Kenyan, living and working in Kenya currently.
And what motivates you?
My motivation comes from a lot of areas, I must say. But if I were to summarize what my areas of motivation, I would say perhaps 3 things. You know, continuous improvement usually inspires me a lot. I'm very keen. I notice continuous improvement, however small. If the step is forward, it motivates me a lot. I see it in people. If I can evaluate my own work and my own progress and I see some sort of continuous improvement, you know, that really does motivate me. I don't like to stall. I don't like to stop. I want to be on the move, however slow, but it needs to be incremental. That, I would say, is my first, you know, sort of motivation. And related to that is what I'd call grit. You know, when people stay on course no matter what, because our lives are complicated, our lives are hard, our lives, you know, especially as a middle-aged woman, wife, mother, professional, you know, it's very complex. So we need to stay on course. If I can stay on course, and if I see somebody staying on course no matter what, they drop off, maybe they're studying, they drop off and they pick up again, you know, maybe they're working and they lose their jobs and they keep on track, it motivates me a lot. I guess it's related to my first motivation, which is continuous improvement. And the third thing that I would call a summary of what motivates me is about small beginnings, but with big dreams, I would say. If people or if I can conceptualize where I want to go without necessarily knowing the full path, but knowing where to start and starting small, believing in the dream and moving forward and monitoring as I go and celebrating small wins, for me, that is very, very motivational. So that is how I would, you know, summarize what motivates me. You know, continuous improvement, grit, and small beginnings with big dreams.
Sounds great. And what helps you stay on course? What is, for example, your favorite morning routine?
My morning routine is, I wouldn't say it's haphazard, but it mostly, you know, I start my day with a prayer and some sort of meditation. I'm a practicing Christian, so I read a little bit from my Bible, you know, and I prepare for my day the night before, pretty much. You know, I know what I'm going to do. I know what my job requires. I know where I need to go on the meeting, so that I prepare for the day before, the night before. And so I wake up in the morning and prepare for the day by prayer and meditation. You know, I support those who are planning to leave in the morning as much as I can. I like to train and go running. So sometimes I do that in the morning, either, you know, on the road or I go training at the gym. So to keep fit, and, you know, I work from home. So I plan once people leave, then I take time for myself. And then I begin to implement the plan I would have made the previous night for the day. That's my general routine with a bit of variations here and there. But I also eat, you know, I create time to eat in the morning. So, you know, that would be my routine.
So what do you do, since you like to stay on course? So what do you do if things don't go as planned?
Wow. And things, a lot of times things do not go as planned. And that's life, you know. So I guess because it happens a lot, my attitude is about getting back on course. Remember, I talked about grit, staying on, you know, so I accept the situation when things do not go as planned, and I evaluate the reasons, you know, where did we fall? What do we need? What did we not do right or fast or efficiently enough? So once I accept the situation and evaluate the reasons, I rethink the goal to be sure that, you know, it remains the same, because I don't like to move goals unless it's a really, really major occurrence. I do not like to move goals. I move goals only after trying once or twice and re-strategizing. If it doesn't work, then I would move goals or call down goals and so on and so forth. So once I evaluate the reasons, I rethink the goal to be sure that it remains the same, then I re-strategize. And in terms of, you know, re-strategizing, you know, I ask myself questions like, what primary input do I need to put in more? What secondary requirements are needed to be able to realize my goals? Who else do I need support from, you know, what kind of resources do I need to put in more? How do I measure? How do I know that I'm getting there? In which case, then I establish new KPIs, key performance indicators, and, you know, just to be sure that I'm on course and to know that I'm getting there. And then I monitor progress going forward. You know, I really like to monitor progress and to work backwards and say, if I need to move 4 steps today and I only move 3, what does that mean for me tomorrow? It means that I need to move 5 steps so that I keep to my key performance indicators. So that's what I do. I reevaluate, I re-strategize, re-energize, set new KPIs and monitor my progress.
Interesting. So we met today to talk about Mentor Me Kenya. In the last season, yes, I interviewed Karin Heinze on Mentor Me, and it seems like she expanded, and I find this so great that she expanded to Africa, especially Kenya, that we decided to talk today. So what is Mentor Me Kenya about?
Okay, I'm glad you have spoken with Karin, because the vision remains the same, you know. So if you know about Mentor Me, you know, founded in Germany in 2005 by Karin, who you have spoken with, it's done very well in Germany, has, you know, acquired big corporate partners. But then if you know Karin, you know that her worldview is broad. So, you know, she thought about Africa and who else in the world needs mentoring, who else in the world needs training, how else can the rest of the world gain from this thing that she had established so firmly in Germany. And then, you know, the question of Africa came in. And in Africa, indeed, we need a lot of mentorship. We need a lot of training. We need a lot of networking, particularly in Kenya. And as we go along, I probably will be able to, you know, exemplify that. And so, you know, to come to Kenya, Karin needed money. And so she fundraised, and thankfully we got support from the German International Corporation, you know, through the GIZ. And we are now having a pilot project in Kenya that lasts 1 year, with a hope that we'll be able to, you know, get partnerships that would support this or fundraise a little more so that, you know, we can extend it beyond the 1 year. Now in Kenya, the program is a pilot, as I have mentioned, and our products are 3. One is mentoring. Two is training, and three is networking. And these are opportunities that Mentor Me Kenya program is hoping to give our beneficiaries. We are targeting graduates. I don't know if this is the right time to say this, but we are targeting graduates who are currently job seekers, people who are currently not employed, but who are Kenyan adults with university degrees. That's one segment. And the second segment is owners and managers of medium, small, and micro enterprises in Kenya. So our big tool in Mentor Me Kenya is by use of a software matching. Remember, I mentioned that one of our main products, in fact, key product is mentoring. So we are using a tested software matching platform where, we match mentors and mentees, and our mentors are both Kenyan and Germans, and our mentees, as I have mentioned, are Kenyans, and we match them, appropriately using this software, for a 1 year training, mentoring, and networking. And how we deliver this, our products is online. It's all online. Once we match our mentor and mentees, they organize their own time and agree when to meet. And, they meet for 1 hour per month for the whole year. So that means at about 12 or so sessions where, they get the mentoring. However, on our end as Mentor Me Kenya, we provide training for the job seekers. We also provide training for the owners and managers of the MSMEs, and as well organize networking events for the same as we go along in the program.
This sounds to me that it goes a little bit beyond traditional assistant. It's kind of a new angle to take. And if I may just add this, the GIZ is completely funded by the German government. So it's probably German taxpayers' money going into this. So who are the Germans that you're looking for and how do you find them?
Yeah, so the German mentors that we have on the platform are people who have been in employment for a certain period of time, and they are people who are willing to give of their time, and it is all voluntary. We don't pay them. So we have marketed our program and they remain in our mentorship, in our mentor pool. And, they have accepted that if they're well matched with the Kenyan mentees who, again, are applying to our platform, they would be giving their time free of charge. So really for the Mentor Me Kenyan beneficiary, it is double barreled. You get the program and you don't pay for it, because I know that in Germany people pay for it, and you get the mentor, again, giving of their time and their expertise and exposing you and discussing with you things and unpacking the issues that you have as a professional or as an MSME, free of charge. So it's all voluntary. We have a pool that we are always, always increasing in size and quality, and it is going well. We have matched quite a number of pairs, and the feedback is pretty positive.
And just for me to understand this, so is the goal to help people grow on the ground, or is the goal also to assist, maybe to help Kenyans find a job in Germany?
No, actually the goal of Mentor Me Kenya is to improve the work situation for Kenyans in Kenya. We don't have any avenue or any objective of immigration or to get Kenyans out of Kenya. If the mentorship and training and networking that we give them in our program as Kenyans opens those opportunities, well and good. We don't tell them that they must work in Kenya. We don't tell them that we are taking them anywhere. We are saying that we want to improve the work situation for Kenyans. We want to make, MSE, medium, small, and micro enterprises thrive, by training the managers, and providing them the training that they require, and networking that they require. So we want them to negotiate better. We want them to pitch better for better jobs. We want them to improve work situation, that the MSMEs will survive, because right now the data doesn't look too good in Kenya, but through our training and mentorship that they would survive and provide more jobs. And the people that are job seekers who are trained and schooled, the graduates that we are targeting, will be more confident, will speak better, will present better, will pitch better, and that everybody along that continuum of individuals and MSMEs will, have a better working condition. That's a big objective.
And may I ask, is it also a good opportunity, or could it also be a good opportunity for German or European companies who want to expand into Kenya to have some new contacts or to network?
Absolutely, absolutely. So our networking does not limit us to Kenya or to any part of the world. If there is a German company, for instance, that's looking for expertise in Kenya, we at the end of this, we are going to have a very rich sort of a database of MSMEs that could partner with corporates or with companies from Germany. And if the German companies need human resources in Kenya, the askers will be able to say, look, we have, say, 300 graduates in Kenya who are looking to be employed and who have gone through a mentorship program and who have gone through a training program and who have networked appropriately. So indeed, it could be an avenue, exactly. It could be an avenue for the German companies that want to anchor in Kenya or in this region generally.
Why do German mentors join? What are their motivations in this?
Oh, their motivation, I think. I know that there are people in this world that want to give of their time and their knowledge for the betterment of others. There are people who are humane in nature, and they know that there are people who are in need of what they have or what they have acquired over time. And they say, I light another candle, it does not make mine dimmer. So they're making the world a better place by giving of their time and knowledge in this entire process, you know? The other thing is that I believe that they would like to learn a different people through, cross-cultural exchange. We are having, every so often we get together with the mentors and, they ask questions about how to handle some things. So this kind of exchange enriches people's personality. It makes the world a smaller place, which is a good thing. It creates that cross-cultural intimacy, which, the world needs today. So overall, to improve humanity, make better working conditions. People know about Africa, and Kenya in particular is a country that's very rich in human resource, trained, very good quality human resource. And it is sad that we cannot get the level of employment that Kenya should actually have. So, if somebody in Germany feels that they have the experience that's going to make, a small or medium enterprise thrive in Kenya where it is established, they want to give to that, they want to be able to contribute to that. If they feel that there's somebody who's schooled there and, I could make their lives better and make their work condition or their chances to get a proper job and a good, decent livelihood going, then I'm willing to give my time. So I would believe that to volunteer, you need to just buy into the vision, you need to see the objectives of the program and give of your time. And this is what the mentors are doing. Remember, we also have Kenyan mentors who are doing exactly the same.
I think it's a very interesting project. I hope with the podcast, even more people hear about it. So
I hope so.
this is fairly new. What is your vision? What would ideally the next years look like? What would be your goal?
Look, we would like to be here for the long haul because I live and work in Kenya. I'm trained here. The space of mentorship and the role of mentorship is so underrated. A lot of people get mentorship along their professional, career and growth. A lot of MSMEs are getting mentorship. They don't necessarily call it mentorship. Why? Because it is unstructured, because it is not timed, because it is not mainstreamed. So we are hoping that by the, after a few years of operation in Kenya, that we would have mainstreamed mentorship training and networking as an avenue to being professionally stable and for survival of, medium, small, and micro enterprises. So for me, as an individual, as a program lead here, I'd like to be able to leave 4 years later, for instance, say that we have mainstreamed mentoring, training, and networking into the process so that people say, yes, I have an education, I have a university degree. Now I go for my mentorship. Now I go for networking because I know that I need it to be able to get where I am going. To be able to do that, we need to fundraise. We need to fundraise if we can get, development partners, in the education space to support us, like the GIZ has done. As well, we are hoping that there are corporates that will see our vision, buy into it, anchor into it, and partner with us to the extent that they can even, like sponsor it, finance it, support us with their infrastructure, support us in making policies around mentorship, training, and networking so that it is indeed mainstreamed, so that we can tell a clear difference between people who are schooled but not mentored from those who are schooled and mentored. We would like to be able to see that difference, to establish it, to define it, to crystallize it in such a way that people see it as a need that is as basic as education.
Yeah. And what I liked in the interview with Karin last year is that she was so open about her business model, because I believe that being a social entrepreneur doesn't mean that you're not allowed to make any money, because everyone has to make a living. So what is your business model and how do you actually make money?
It would be consistent with what Karin said. So yes, indeed, this is social entrepreneurship. You know, we identify an issue and solve it while surviving through it, you know, financially, so that we are sustainable. So as I mentioned, we fundraise, we have a budget, we have the number of mentors that we require in the platform, but we don't pay them. But remember, there is a management of them, there is the improvement and the maintenance of the software, there is staff that is working on this, their marketing, you know, activities that need to be financed, and, you know, general administration, you know, and salaries and stuff like that. So when we fundraise, we determine how long we want this to go for, what can we afford, how will we afford our next year, and then, you know, we allocate funds to it. It's a basic budget of what we have vis-a-vis what we must spend, and hope that we can save some money as we go along.
Interesting. Yes. And what do you think will people learn from each other? What do you think will be the key learning?
I hope that the key learning would be that classroom education is very important, but it needs to be supported by the realities of the workplace, that it needs to be supported by the realities of the medium, you know, micro enterprise development, especially in Africa, and that there is wealth in supporting your classroom education with the actual goings on in the workplace. And that, you know, there are things and soft skills that you will not get in a classroom, and that mentorship will give you the soft landing so that you're not hitting a hard surface when you get employed or when you start a small enterprise, and that it will give you a cushion because you would have learned from somebody who has walked the path. You would have learned from real examples, that you would have had somebody hold your hand along the way as you go, so that as a fresh graduate, when you go into the workplace, you're not starting from scratch. You are starting from a mentored scratch. That would be, you know, my goal.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking back about my studies, that would have been nice to have someone to guide me along the way.
Absolutely. I can understand. A lot of people don't get it. Some people get it and then they realize, oh, was that mentorship you were taking me through? You know, so we are structuring it so that, you know, it is something that you can actually tick the boxes as you go along and get real life experience, real work experience, real business experience. People need it. And sometimes they don't realize they need it until they see somebody who's got it. We are hoping that we are going to plant people in the workplace who have been mentored alongside their classroom education, and that will be an example, you know, a seed that will go a long way. And when they're asked, you know, where did you learn this? You are new in the marketplace. They will say, it's because I partnered with MentorMe Kenya.
That sounds good. And how is the business in Kenya? I know it's a big question, but for example, German companies, where do you see the most opportunities?
Okay, so the job situation in Kenya can improve a lot. Let me give you a little bit of a background, a very short background. Kenya is a regional hub for a lot of multinationals, you know. So you will get East and Central Africa multinational having their hub in Kenya. And that has taken a number of, you know, employees trained in Kenya and abroad, but who live in Kenya. There are a lot of regional, you know, jobs that are in Kenya, some held by Kenyans, others held by expatriates. On the other hand, the human resource quality in Kenya is high. For Africa, we range very high. You know, people are well-schooled in Kenya. And so what has happened is that the job market is extremely competitive, you know. So there are a lot of people who are educated, but the job they can go into a few. And so what has ended up happening is that, you know, there has been this very good ground, this very fertile ground for the development of the, you know, medium, small and micro enterprises. And it has almost organically, you know, risen because people who are smart and have a little money in their pocket are looking for ways to survive. So they start a business that they hope they can run to feed, you know, to fulfill a need. Entrepreneurship is in the blood of Kenyans. We are extremely an innovative lot, you know, and very resilient. But unfortunately, because for a long time we did not get the institutional support that we required, you know, the data that we have right now is that only 30% of my, you know, medium, small and micro enterprises survive in the first 3 years. That means out of 10, we drop 7, you know. This has been the case because, you know, the policy around MSME development and support has not been too consistent in this country, you know, and when it seemed to be getting mainstreamed, it's a lot of times it ended at the policy level. The implementation was tedious, you know, and a lot of entrepreneurs get frustrated along the way. The requirement for so many licenses to do business has almost killed some of them. This is how we end up with only 30% surviving in the first 3 years. So, you know, I'm thinking that there's an opportunity here because I said we are resilient and we are innovative and we are entrepreneurial. And so if there are German companies, for instance, that are looking for businesses that they can scale, you know, where there is a good structure, where a business has been formally registered, you know, with the right authorities, a business that is having their books in order, a business that has a vision, mission, and objectives in order, and that are biting in bit and staying on course no matter what. And if the German companies can identify such, you know, MSMEs and see that their business is scalable, and a lot of them are scalable into the country, into the region that is East Africa and Central, then there is big opportunity here for, you know, this scalability. And I think that by the time we are done with this, because we are hoping that the MSME mentorship will incorporate aspects of, you know, registration, of keeping books right, if we can have this ground, then I believe that the German, you know, corporations or partners could be looking at a really good opportunity for scaling businesses here and beyond.
And could you also name a few sectors? I mean, what has a lot of potential? Agriculture, high tech?
Yes, agriculture. I would say manufacturing. The cottage industry is very fertile here. They just need to move out of home and get machinery. You know, telco is a big one here. A bit of fintech, you know, is big here. Obviously, they're the big players. But, you know, there are community solutions or bottom pyramid solutions. That space is still big, and there are a lot of innovations around there, you know, that I believe that German partners would want to look at. A lot of the businesses here that if I were, you know, a German partner or financier, would be those that target the, you know, the bottom of the pyramid, because there's quite some money there because of the number of people. The needs are very unique to Africa. The solutions are African grown and they are scalable, but they need money, they need structure, they need technical support. And I think that's where the German corporates or partners would be coming into play.
And what do you think, what kind of prejudice people have when they think about Kenya, and then what do Kenyans think about Germany?
Yeah, I'm thinking about the prejudices. Okay, so I think a lot of people in the world, not just Germans, think that all Kenyans have seen the big five animals, you know, that we somehow sit in our rural villages and, you know, you see a lion wandering by and a zebra saying, what's up? Hello? Just so you know, very few, these animals are in the reserves and very few Kenyans have actually gotten access to them, to see them, to feel them. We see a lot of them in films, you know, we read a lot about them, but very few Kenyans have seen them. You know, because of that reason, you know, they're dangerous and, you know, they're a national treasure. So they are kept and looked after very safely. The other thing I know that people think is that Kenyans are all long distance runners. We run for fitness when we have to, but we are not. There are very few people who are long distance, you know, runners, you know. And then I think Kenya has also inherited a lot from the African prejudices, like, you know, lacking in human resource. And in Kenya particularly, I can tell you our human resource is one of the best things that we have, you know, and so that is a prejudice that I'm hoping that, you know, we can turn around over time, you know. And the notion that Kenyans want to leave Kenya to go to the first world, there is quite a bit of that, but it's not the standard. There are many, 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 in fact, most Kenyans want to stay here and grow here, especially those who have traveled want to stay here because they know that there is a good, good quality of life here. If you can just establish yourself, get a job going or get a business going, you know, this, a lot of them want to stay here. You know, we are happy here. And the other side to that question is, you know, prejudice about Germany among Kenyans. We think, Zoe, that Germans are extremely strict. You know, we think that they're no-nonsense kind of people, that when they say 10 a.m., they mean 10 a.m. and not 10 or two. So we think so. The other thing we think about, we imagine that everybody...
You could be right.
Am I right?
You could be.
All right. Okay. We also think that everyone that, you know, that you leave home without, you know, wanting to buy a car, but then you'll return home with a new Mercedes-Benz or BMW because everybody can afford it and everybody drives it with no speed limit. You know, these are prejudices, as I would call them, you know. And we also think that there's no poverty in Germany. I don't know how true it is, but we think that there's no poverty because we know that the employment rate is up there. Perhaps the definition of poverty in Germany vis-a-vis Kenya is different, but we think that everybody is doing extremely well. Well, you know, and that, you know, there are jobs everywhere. You don't have to struggle for them, you know. So these are some of the prejudices that I would say that we on this part of the world would have about Germany.
They're more positive outlooks, I would say, overall.
Yes.
So how can Mentimi help to overcome these prejudices or, you know, perceptions maybe?
Yeah, Mentimi has been actually very proactive in correcting these prejudices, especially when it comes to human relationships and, you know, what you can do and what you cannot do. We have actually organized a training, what we are calling a cross-cultural training, where we would be talking to, you know, bringing our mentors and mentees who are Kenyan together with our mentors who are Germans, and we'll be telling them some ways of life of Kenyans and that of Germany, you know, and vice versa, what happens in Kenya when I say hello and not look at you straight in the face, for instance, as a Kenyan, it doesn't mean that I'm rude. It means I'm respecting you because of our traditional upbringing. You do not face somebody, your elder or somebody you respect directly, you know, rather, you know, you look a little bit away, your body faces them, but your face not right into their eyes because that is considered rudeness or too, you know, in the face. So we are actually proactive enough and we want to bring this together. And we are taking this to the professional level as well, not just social. So for instance, you know, Germans are learning how Kenyans write their resume, for instance. And, you know, they are telling us what they do and we are borrowing from each other. We have actually put together a very proactive training that will bring them together, ask people to ask questions. And we put it sort of in the middle, not in the middle, like in the first quarter of our program, because we want them to experience each other a little bit so that when they come to the training, cross-cultural training, that we will be, they'll be asking questions sometimes from experience, sometimes from prejudices, sometimes from what they have gone through in their first one or two, you know, mentorship sessions. So we are big on, you know, intercultural exchange and learning from each other, all towards a positive goal of, you know, expanding networks. Because your mind needs to be networked before you actually meet the people to network with. And we are hoping that this is going to be to the benefit of both our mentors and mentees.
Oh, thank you. That is a very nice final sentence. Thank you very much for your time. I learned a lot and will spread the word and hope that even more people will join MentorMe Kenya.
Thank you so much, Zoe, for having me. Yes, indeed. Please spread the word. We are planting great seeds. We are hoping for support. We are hoping that everybody will rally around us and that will make mentoring, training, and networking a mainstream theme in the betterment of the work situation in Kenya and beyond.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Thanks.